Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Behind the Human. I'm your host, Mark Champagne, and it's my job to unpack the stories and mental fitness practices of people living at the top of their game personally and professionally. Today on the show, we have Mahez, who is the founder and creative director of the production house Acts of Imagination. She embodies a lifelong commitment to creativity and immersive storytelling with over 15 years of diverse experience spanning film, major events, media, advertising, and branding. Both in Australia and abroad, she has cultivated a unique expertise in crafting collective moments of awe and wonder, which I can't wait to speak about. Beyond her commercial ventures, she is an artist at heart, continually exploring the depths of her imagination, lived experiences, and emotions. Her current focus centers on the pursuit of awe, seeking to infuse every project with a sense of wonder that leaves lasting impact on audiences worldwide. If I put all of the titles aside and the bio and all of the work that you're doing, who are you?
That's a great question. In complete honesty, I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure it out.
I think that
it's been, yeah, because I'm definitely learning who I am and opening new doors every week or every month, all the time. I'm a very a human who is very curious. I'm a meaning seeker at the core, at the heart. And that's been very powerful for me, but also it's been a bit of a pain point sometimes, which brought more learnings. But yeah, I'm a meaning seeker and I'm very curious. And I enjoy very much when I see people transform and feel this sense of awe.
We're definitely going to get into that. I have to ask, I'm curious, just, and thank you for answering the who are you question from what I can feel as honestly as possible, because I mean, I think it takes some bravery and some real connection to self to answer the question or answer it with, I'm not entirely sure right now. Is that scary? Is that just kind of the chapter that you're in? Like what's some of the context behind that?
It can be scary sometimes, but I think it's been about getting comfortable with it, with not knowing. I'm someone who I'm constantly asking questions, and I didn't know until somebody else said, oh, why are you asking so many questions? I said, well, how would I not ask questions? So understanding that is like, well, it's okay. I mean, if I don't know who I am, is I'm asking questions about myself, and that's a continuous discovery. Yes, it could be that I'm in a point in my life right now where I'm discovering or just peeling one more layer of who I am and more like, okay, how can I be more of an artist? So there's a lot of questions and a lot of meaning revelations around that. And understanding, yes, who I am. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I did write down from our first conversation, you said something to the fact of, you just mentioned this now, but I'm trying to be more of an artist, like a brush rather than a drill. And that really, that really stuck out to me, because I think a lot of us can relate to being the drill. But for you, what's sparking that comment or observation? Like what's some of the backstory of your journey leading up to where you're at now, where it seems like you're asking a lot of pretty reflective and deep questions to kind of see what the next chapters are, but what fueled that comment?
I think it's my whole life. I've always been, you know, I've worked from a work perspective and in the advertising world, in the film world, always on the move, always going. I have background as an executive producer. So I've always been 3-4 steps ahead of everything. And it's very natural to me to do that. And if you add that I'm from Argentina, I moved to Australia. Before that, I traveled the world. I went through some difficult moments with my ex-husband who had bipolar. And so my life has been always moving and doing and going and almost rising from the ashes and reinventing myself. So from a personal perspective and work-wise, I've been a drill. I've just been just going deep and going for it. And now that I'm in a relationship and there have been kids in my life through my partner, there's another perspective going on. It's not just me anymore. And there's been some changes with, you know, work-wise, business-wise. I'm in a moment where I'm trying to observe more instead of doing. And even exercise, looking after my mind and as much as my body. So I'm in a different moment in my life. Maybe I have the same questions I've always asked. There's some questions that have been with me my whole life, but I'm looking at them with a different lens.
Yeah. Well, I think that I'm really happy you added that last point, because I often get, since I'm always asking for the questions, I guess you could say, and have written about a lot of people and the questions that they ponder on and so forth. Often the question I get is, you know, what makes a high quality or a great question? And I think you just answered that. It's like you've been asking the same questions, but you're asking them from a different lens or different perspective. And I think that relevance to whatever's going on in your life right now, personally and professionally, that's what makes questions really profound. It's not the actual question itself. It's the timing of it, right? And what it's able to surface based on what's going on.
Absolutely. And the one of those questions, for example, which is a question that is also, you know, penetrating my work, it's around what it means to be human. And even and it's interesting because when I share that, people say, so what does it mean? And I was like, I don't know. And I actually, the best way to answer that question is to discover yourself and do things trying to discover what the answer is. But maybe I will never reach or will never get to a full answer. And the interesting thing is that question now has changed or has transformed, and it's more about how does it feel to be human. Ooh. Instead of the meaning. And because meaning, it's about the mind, and that's more of a drill question. And how does it feel is more of a brush question, and focusing more on this as essential beings that we are. And trying to let the mind observe and not be active and doing and trying to solve it all. So that is a reflection of my change personally. That question has transformed, because I'm really good at connecting the dots. That's my job. And that's meaning. And I can just go like crazy on that. But that has also been my really weak point. Like, it's so much clutter, so much stuff in my mind. That's what then feels so overwhelming. So through the act of meditation and just being in my body, or doing that like sound baths or breath work, or just being more in my body and reading books and, you know, different, that has made that question change and go to, okay, how does it feel? Instead of what does it mean?
So do you use a question like that as a daily check-in in a way?
It's interesting, because sometimes it's very conscious that yes, it's a daily check-in. Sometimes it's just something that I'm doing constantly without being saying, okay, now I'm going to ask this question.
Sure. Oh, that's nice though. It's nice to get to that point.
You know, it just happens. Like, for example, with my partner, he says, sometimes we're talking, he says, oh, how did you come up with that? I mean, when do you have time to think about those things? And I said, I don't know. It just happens. Maybe when I'm commuting, maybe when I wake up, maybe I'm going to bed, maybe, you know, after my daily reading, or it just happens.
Wow. So what would you, this is so fascinating. I mean, I felt some of this when we first spoke, and kind of hence why I was like, we have to have a podcast to talk about this. But I didn't realize, obviously I didn't know, you know, you didn't share all of this level of detail, which just lights me up. And I can see why we connected so kind of right off the bat. We just given our mutual love for curiosity. I'm curious to know how you would describe your internal journey over the last, you know, I don't know, 10 years or so, because it sounds like, yeah, you've been working really hard and kind of that, like you said, the kind of like the drill in your work and so forth. And then now it almost feels like you're, I was about to say slowing down. There might be, maybe you can use a different word that if that doesn't resonate, because I know you're working on a lot of different things, but there seems to be a different energy to it, you know, that like internally things are slowing down. And in turn, and this is what I'd love to share with other people, and please expand on this, but I'm curious to see how that has affected like your thinking and your ideation and actually the work that you do and like kind of where you sit with that right now.
That's a big question, which is great. I love it. I think the internal process has been, I have to be honest, through some life crisis moments that have been big in my life, from moving countries, from dealing with some mental ill health in my relationship with, you know, with my husband, my ex-husband. And recently it's been going through a business divorce who is my ex, you know, business partner. So those are big moments, big breakups. And they're not easy to go through, but they're so transformative, and they've been the ones that have been changing myself. That what's has sparked the change.
Okay.
And with the last one, I think it's, I've always been forced by the circumstances to stay still, even from a work perspective. Because, you know, we were just closing down a business I was even just closing projects and I wasn't doing, and there was some legal stuff, financial. So I was almost just forced not to do, which is super hard. And so there was the sitting still was real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, and that one was like, okay, what happens now? What's next? And the thing is that I actually really enjoy it, by my surprise, which I already have a bit of this when through the whole pandemic here in Australia, where we're a lot of time in lockdowns. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question.
No, you are. I have more questions on top of it.
So that what's been, I think, is those moments in my life. They're all, I can now, looking back, there's some learnings, because that's the other question I also ask for myself. But normally it comes after a while when something happens. What's my learning from this?
Yeah.
And the big change from the drill to the brush, it's been when I saw my second divorce, which been from a business partner who's a dear friend of mine, and it was super hard. So
what were the things in those, in the heat of those moments, like when you're in them, the personal and the professional divorces and breakups and so forth, were there the fundamental practices or any kind of mental fitness or things in your routine that were the things that helped the most, so that you were able to, because what I'm picking up on is you're able to zoom out of kind of the messiness of what are like high stress situations, right? Or high pressure situations. So what helped you while you're right in it?
I think there were a few things. Some things were very individual ones. I did a lot of like sound healing. And just really to connect with my body.
What is that like?
And meditation.
Just for people that don't know, I've only done one sound bath in my life, so I'm pretty novice at this. So I'd love to know too. Like what is that like for you? What describe the kind of sound healing?
Oh. I'm sure we're not going to do justice to the ones who actually do their practice and can talk about it. But it's just using
from your experience.
From my experience, it's just letting sound and the vibrations, because sound is vibration. So let that harmonize your body. Mm. And just being in touch with the different energetic points, your chakras, and utilizing sound as the vehicle to bring that harmony back again in your body. And it's been ancient practices where they use sound as a vehicle for healing. Yeah. And to bring that state, even that stillness, or even just to go to a level where we normally don't, we only reach for meditation or sound healing, which is
so
that level
to
the conscious and unconscious.
Yeah.
I've just got to someone who does the practice, and I've done individual sessions or group sessions.
Okay.
Group sessions are great. So I'm just with an objective, but then I've gone and just work on, you know, I want to work on my sense of certainty, or I want to work on how I feel love, because in a moment of crisis, as you say, or high stress, it's very difficult to connect with love, and that then has a ripple effect in your relationships, the ones that are not haven't broken down, but you're going to break them, or they're going to be damaged if I don't connect with love and I'm not in a place where I feel good with myself. And I think that's what, you know, almost kind of forced as well me to say, well, I need to look after myself, because this situation with my business partner and the business, it's really affecting everything else in my life. And I'm not being a good life partner, I'm not being a good friend, I'm not being good with myself. And this is very cliche, but I had to put myself first.
Yeah.
So doing like sound bath also, and meditation. That meditation's been something that in my life has been going in and out. And again, when you're a lot of a drill, being still, it feels like you're wasting time if you're not aware, if you're not about it, right? So that if you're not fully into understanding what it does to you, how good it is. So meditation has been key, and body scannings and visualizations, affirmations and gratitude. And now it's my daily ritual. It's the first thing I do. And even I do some of it some before going to bed.
Yeah.
Or have midday meditation. How that can really re-energize me, you know, just a 10-15 minute mantra meditation. So those being the breaths, even breath work has helped me a lot. Mainly that was through my divorce with my ex-husband. Breathwork was huge during that time.
Do you find that there were certain practices through those big events that it sounds like breathwork was kind of introduced or was heightened in that situation? Sounds like sound healing in the last one. Are you kind of like introduced to different practices during these bigger moments?
Yeah, well, you found the pattern. I know that there was something that's been introduced. I think it's the interesting thing is that I've always gone to things that I've been drawn to in moments of crisis. So now I'm trying to make that part of, it can be part of my, I don't have to be in a crisis to go to those practices.
Yeah.
It can be part of my daily life. It's not just to solve, because I think at some point it's been, I will do it and then I don't continue. Or it's become sloppy, I'm not having a daily practice. But that has changed now. I'd say, no, this is to be daily. It's not a fixer just to fix something quickly. It needs to be part of, it's a habit, a routine, a ritual. It has to become a ritual.
Yeah. Well, so you said something earlier when you were mentioning the sound healing that I wanted to touch on, because it was around the idea that a lot of the practices and things that you're doing feel in the moment, and I've experienced this as well, feel kind of counterintuitive or definitely against the norm. Like it's, you know, I'll go do this instead or push through. It's like the drill again, once again. So I guess the question that's surfacing for me is, for those that are either in a in a high stress or crisis situation, or frankly, any of us that will experience the next one, what did you need to hear from yourself or someone else in that moment to say, no, I'm going to, like, I need to go do the sound healing or the sound bath and not follow kind of like the almost the pre-programmed societal track of like, I'm going to push through this or push through that. Was there something that was helpful that either you told yourself or that some, you know, a mentor of yours, you know, gave you in those moments?
I think it was about having self-compassion and do something to look after myself. I think in those moments, we're very rough, we're very hard with ourselves because of what we're going through. And the last thing that we do is to do something that it's like a hug, not just hug. Do you hug yourself? Do you actually like it? We might do that for others. If we see someone who is suffering or someone that is, we will go and hug them or be there and listen, be open, create a, you know, hold space for them. But we don't do that for ourselves. And it's like, I will keep working. I will keep pushing. I'll just put it aside and just be so hard.
Yeah.
And doing something like doing for a sound bath or meditate, that's to say, no, I'm going to look after myself. I'm going to do something that feels nice, that is soft, that will help me reconnect with myself. So the self-compassion component has been huge for me.
Okay.
And that's been other people telling me that, or a friend or my life partner. Now it's been huge support. And to say self-compassion, Marcus, where is it?
Yeah.
You know, it's self-compassion. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So I don't, when you say, well, what someone needs to hear, and I would say that those things that we don't want to do or we think are not important are the most important. The things that we don't want to do are the ones we have to do. And it sounds cliche, counterintuitive, and all those things. But sometimes that's when you have to pick up yourself and just go and do it.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, sometimes it's even, you know, beyond, I'm not saying there's not reparenting, but it's just if you have children or people who love and you would just say, no, now you go and do it, well, do that with yourself.
That's great. That's great advice. I'd love to talk a little bit more about, kind of continue down the theme that we're on, but link that to your professional world as well, and specifically in like production and producing and so forth. Because, and I don't have a ton of experience in this, as you know, but I have filmed recently a pilot for a project that I was telling you about, and I'm only sharing this because it really hit me as, wow, I don't know much about this industry, and I feel like you'll be able to provide some insight. So before we started the filming of the first day that we were on set, I just had all of us, we did 6 minutes of guided breath work, like everyone, full crew, everyone that was in the room stopped what they're doing. And we did 6 minutes of guided breath work. And then I said a couple words around, you know, this is why we're here together. Like, let's just be in our sweet spot and do, you know, what we love to do and so forth. Which didn't feel like this strange thing to me because, I mean, this is the kind of work that I do, obviously. But the director came to me after, said, you know, they're not used to that. Like, you could, they're used to being run like dogs, essentially. And it's chaotic. And people are yelling and like there's tempers and all this stuff. And it's like, oh gosh, like that seems a bit wild. Now I'm generalizing, of course, in painting, probably maybe an unfair brush, but I've kind of heard similar comments across the industry. So as someone that, you know, has spent the vast majority of her career in this world, how do you have these conversations around bringing obviously a lot of that self-compassion or are you not, or is it still a struggle? Like, how do you do it?
It's a struggle. I have to be very honest. It's definitely a struggle. I saw this the other day with someone was saying, it was on LinkedIn, someone from the industry saying, well, the advertising world, you know, and advertising has a lot to do with film and et cetera. As soon as you get a client, you get an account, the whole team is thinking how they're going to lose it. So they're in fear and they operate in fear. And I think there's a lot of the industry that operates and runs in fear, because fear of the client being upset, fear because of the director, if the film is going to be upset, fear because it's going to come, the executive producer, I'm going to be upset. Someone is going to be upset and is not going to be happy. You're not going to be meeting at someone's expectations, and therefore you're not valued, and what you're doing is terrible, right? It's really bad. So it's definitely that in the industry, mainly
many
when
industries.
You know, it's many, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, like in, I would say in L industries, but in film, and time is money. And, you know, just being running late on something, it will require another day of shooting, and that it will blow the budget and people are going to be unhappy. And all of a sudden, and it's and the dog is not doing what it's supposed to. It's an animal, and we're all stressed out because the dog is not doing what it needs to do in that scene. So and sometimes it becomes this circus. And I love the industry, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I think I love creativity, and I think what you can do, it's amazing. And at the same time, besides all this, it operates in such a way that it's a machine. It's when a team is in sync and you're in set and everyone knows what they need to do, and everyone is so important, because from the person that is just doing continuity to the director to the assistant of the assistant of the assistant. So, and that's beautiful. And that sense of achievement as a collective, it's incredible. And that's why I love film, and also love events. Events are same. It's live and you're just running the show. And it's this machine and this pressure, but when you're good and in sync, oh, wow, it's a money can't buy type experience, right? I wish I had the solution for the whole industry. I don't know what that is. I think it has to do, in my view, and that's what I do with my teams and the projects I work on, is just if I'm leading the project, how I'm going to set the expectations with my client on how we're going to work, and with the team. And having that support. One of the last projects I've done, we were traveling around the world with a crew, with a relatively small crew, you know, from India to Sweden to Austria, and just work with some locals at the same time. And it was such a sense of, because it was, for me, it was important that we were not working on crazy hours, that there was a sense of acknowledgement and gratitude for what we were doing, that even just creating that with the client as well. Just so how do you nurture that? And someone needs to be leading that way of being and working and showing up. Is it common? It's not. There's a lot of pressure. And sometimes there has been another project was more like an event related project. And I could see that the client side, there was this young woman and she was under so much pressure that I went at some point, I just gave her a hug. And she almost, and it's like, you're hugging the client? Yeah, I've hugged the client. And I went and had this sense of like, I'd say, kind of, I'd look at her and I said, you need a hug. And I hugged her and she started crying. I said, it's okay. It's going to be fine. I got you. It's okay. We're going to be fine. And events, there's also a lot of stress. So,
just be human.
Yes, they're not used to it. Yeah, it's just right? like, so, and she was under so much stress. She was coming, you know, from doing events the whole week. And, you know, this was the one in Melbourne. And she's been interstate. So she was, you know, she hasn't been sleeping. And that's a massive, like, so huge how that affects our mood, how others feel around us, our well-being, our mind. So she was sleep deprived. I could tell. There are two options. I can go and feel upset with her and be anxious, and we're all anxious, and there's going to be, you know, all running around like, oh my God, this is the end of the world. Or I could just go, you're sleep deprived. Come on, let's be human. I'm hugging you. It's all right. I got you. What's next? Let's do it. And be grateful. Look, and I remember I said, look around. We're almost there. No need to be so stressed out.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But I had to be in that. No, since if I'm also stressed, and I'm not going to be able to do that.
But of course, I imagine there's moments, it's not like, and I don't think you're painting this picture, but it's not like everything's like rosy and perfect all the time in your world also. But I mean, I feel this, and I'm sure the listeners can feel this as well. I mean, you work pretty hard on your own practices and rituals and routines to be able to zoom out from the noise and all of the, the mental clutter and whatnot, to the point where you can hold space for someone that you can see is in need, right? And that's, I think that's something you should be super grateful or proud of. Like, that takes work hard work.
It's hard work. The observe, detach, no action. It's very hard. Very hard. Mainly when I'm a doer, right? I'm a meaning seeker, I'm a doer, and I'm a fixer, which is, it's great, but also could be really bad because you want to fix things that even you cannot fix, like a thing that I could fix, and someone's mental health, and I can't. That's someone, that happened with my ex. It's just, I can fix this. No.
Yeah.
So it's really hard when you're in that doing, being more in the being, just be. But I know that that's what make me stronger and in a softer way, right? Not the stronger of the drill way, the stronger in the soft, in the brash way. So yes, it's super hard, but it's been amazing what it does, how it's helped not only my work, but also my personal relationships.
Well, and I met, this was the other topic I really wanted to cover with you. And I feel like this is kind of a natural segue, but how does all of this support living and looking or experiencing those moments of awe and wonder? I guess, right? Or what does awe and wonder for you look and feel like at this point in your life?
Those moments where I feel at one with the world. It's that moment of wow, there's no me and the world, we're just one.
That's refreshing.
Great. It's gorgeous. It could be from watching a sunset or sometimes walking down the street coming back home, and it's just, I get mesmerized with the beauty of what I'm seeing a little bit outside of the city. So there's a lot of green around, and so I'm just walking down the street, like, oh, wow, look where I live. Or even it's just a moment where I see something with my partner's children, and which, the beautiful, and seeing these two humans and they have a moment, I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Or it could be something I read, or it could be something more elaborated as an experience. And creating that for others, it's something that it's a big passion for me, because I know those moments can bring their transformative moments. That to me has to do with that, how it feels and what it means to be human. So if I can facilitate that for others, that's my dream. So that's what I try to do. And I say I try because, I can't guarantee that I'm going to do something that is going to make you feel that way. I will try to, and I'm experimenting, but it's also very personal.
Sure.
It's a combination of circumstances of where you're at right now in your life, your context, the moment, external factors.
But you do have, and I hope you feel and kind of acknowledge this and let this kind of land in your heart, but you do, I don't want to say natural ability, because I know you work on this, but you definitely have a skill to that environment, even virtually. I mean, we're recording this and I think we're probably about 15 hours apart in terms of time. So, I'm end of day, you're early in the morning, and not that I don't pick up on kind of visual cues and whatnot, but I felt it way more heightened, when I got on the line with you, of just even noticing the sun kind of rising in your screen and your windows and so forth. But like I said, like just feeling it at, I'd say, five steps deeper than normal. And I think you have a lot to do with that, like that energy that you carry, and it you know, comes through. I mean, we're not even in the same room. And that's a real gift and a beautiful thing that you can kind of ripple out into the world through, of course, the people that you interact with, but then your work as well.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
You're very welcome.
I do. I do put some thought on how I want to leave from, you know, the materiality around me, how space, the scent, the aromas, the lighting, and it could be small things, because I want to. I do in this sense of aesthetics and beauty, but not beauty from a place of what commercially could be. It's more around that beauty related to all, and that it makes us a space that makes us feel different, that we can immerse fully. I try to have that in my house, my home, or my office. It goes with me.
Yeah. Sign me up. Let me know when you're hiring. I'm going to be applying for the next job. That's for sure.
Just we go to Canada.
Absolutely. Let's expand. Let's expand internationally on this side of the world. I'd love to know just if there's anything that, from either a mental fitness standpoint or any of your practices, that you haven't done but you're curious about, or that you want to try, or something you've heard that, you know, it hasn't made its way into your rituals or routines. Is there anything that's kind of on the horizon for you, or that you want to learn more about?
That's an interesting one. I have two things. One, which it's more body practice, but I know it will help my mind, mindfulness practices, which is yoga. And that's because, like, I do a lot of fitness training, but still very drill related. Fitness training is like very hardcore.
Shocking.
Shocking, you know, just I do, you know, fitness training like high rocks or, you know, high intensity, and I'm just running marathons and, you know. So I just do something. And then this is going to be interesting. And I feel this is a confession type journaling, because that I go into in and out of that. What I do a lot if I write poetry, that's my writing expression, journaling, understood as poetry. And then I have moments where I do more just, you know, fluid, just writing and reflecting on something. But I think that's the component that in my everyday ritual I could add. I think that one is just more sporadic, or every 2-3 days or something like that.
Okay.
So I think that's one that I want to add more to my mindfulness practices. Mm.
So journaling is definitely, I would say, is the practice that is my kind of foundational, non-negotiable, I guess you could say. So I do have an observation, though, in you mentioning journaling, because had you not said or mentioned that's an actual practice, or I should say the way that you're looking at it from a execution or medium perspective, had you not mentioned anything around that, I would have said that you are like a hardcore journaler based on the questions you've left and the reflection. So, and this comes up in my work all the time, because often we think, you know, of journaling pen to paper and, you know, sitting down and really taking time to write out those answers. But if you really look at the practice of journaling, in my opinion, it's just reflection, or it's intentional reflection. And you seem to be doing that very consistently, you know, with the check-ins. And again, like, what does it mean to be human? How does it feel to be human? Like, those are fundamental kind of journaling prompts and everything else that you're doing. So I feel like you're doing it. I mean, of course, I support if you want to do more or you know, pen to paper and so forth, especially through the lens of, I really love the analogy or the example you've been providing around like kind of the drill and the brush, because it really sets a nice visual and I think slows us down a little bit to pause and think, okay, yeah, is this, how can it be a little bit more gentle in what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
Which sounds like kind of where you're heading.
Absolutely. I have to thank that one to my therapist. And that's another practice. Like I do therapy once a week and absolutely love it. I think everyone could do really well with that.
Yeah.
It's my space. And it was in those conversations that it came, the analogy of the drill and the brush. And I absolutely love it. Because yes, it's very visual and it can summarize a lot in what you mean with it. And in regards to the journaling, I'm constantly reflecting. That's not something, and I think I've used other medium, like from the poetry or even my paintings, the drawing, that's my journaling.
Yes.
You know, there's other ways of expression. One of the things with my business is radical expression. So it's just, I'm very expressive, and maybe the writing as the journaling, yes, the pen and paper, it's the one that I want to go more into it. But yes, I do think that as a practice, what it is in essence, journaling, I have been doing it. It's not something that it hasn't, that it's been non-existent, on the contrary, but it's just saying more of the, I want to sit down and write. Because then I know I could then sometimes say, oh, I was thinking this thing, but I can't remember. Even if it's just from going back to my own thoughts.
For sure. Yeah. And there's good science to support that as well. And there's something to be said about like pulling something out of your mind and physically putting it onto paper that, again, there's good science to support that. A, that helps you sleep, you know, you're decluttering your mind. And people do that with their either to-do lists or just their thoughts that are looping or ideas and so forth, right? So there's definitely a lot of benefit there. But it's exciting because you have a bunch of other methods as well that are essentially supporting that reflective practice, which is very much linked if I think about. And then I'll put the links in the show notes so people have to check out your work and the website and so forth. I mean, just landing on your web pages is an experience in itself. Like it's, I'm not surprised that that's the feeling. It stood out for me before we even met, but now it all makes sense essentially. And you're doing that personally as well. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, with the website, we're in the process. That's a bit of a temporary website, of course, following the branding and stuff, but I have big aspirations or big goal for the website. We're working on that because I do want it to be, you know, a place where you can feel it. It's not just what you can feel what it is about when you land on that digital expression of the business. And because I'm trying to change the way we experience some type of events, or you know, that there's no one way. Trying to do something is more of a radical expression and fully expressive, and people can immerse in it. So yeah, I'm not sure what was the question before that.
No, that's great. I don't think I asked a question. I was probably just rambling. I do have a final question for you though, because I want to respect your time and let you get started with your day. How does it feel to be human today for you in this moment? What comes up?
In this moment, it feels very cold. It feels soft and but solid at the same time, because and this wholeness, I feel that I'm being true to myself, so it feels good. It feels vibrant and connected, you know, and then just being speaking with you and the vibe that you, again, we're just through a digital medium. However, it feels very real and very whole. So yeah, that's how it feels to me right now.
Right back at you. I mean, I mean, the whole conversation, but definitely as you're saying this, I mean, I'm just, my heart is full. Like I'm full of gratitude. A, that our paths have crossed and who knows, we'll see where the journey goes, but I hope there's, it continues, but just even if it doesn't, I mean, just the fact that we're able to meet and have a really beautiful conversation, I feel so grateful for, but then also feel grateful that this is kind of how I'm wrapping up my day. I mean, I couldn't have think of a better way to to put a kind of a bookend to the day and in conversation. That feels very deep and, like you said, real and around topics and subjects and whatnot that are really big and can be, you know, daunting and are just like real situations that many of us have to deal with. And I feel like, and many thanks to you, I feel like we've navigated some of those, or at least provided some tools and different perspectives for people on the other side to play around with. So thank you for that. Thank you for being true and committed to your own, you know, development and staying, you know, in check with yourself as your life has been evolving, because it's just rippling across your relationships, your energy, and all of your work, which is exponential, and we all get the benefit from that. So I just want to thank you for your commitment to you, I guess is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's, at the same time, I want to say that it's life can be sometimes very daunting. Sometimes things are not the way we want, and it's a crisis is a moment where things are not going the way you want them to go, and you things are not, and you don't like it. Mm-hmm. And it's been through those practices that I could go or get past that moment, because sometimes we're so caught up, like things are not going the way we want, and it's so it can take us all. But it's through the practice that you can get through them. And life contains it all.
Well said.
And life contains it all. And that's the beauty of it. And accepting that is knowing that maybe if today I'm not that great, well, but tomorrow can be amazing. Yeah. Because life contains it all. So, and I thank you as well for this moment, this time. And I hope, yes, that things we cross paths again. And this is a great way for me to start my day.
I love that. There's where the time zones work in our favor.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.